Okay, today's daf is daf Lamed Bet. And last year I left you in suspense, if you remember. The question was if he was working in the morning on one thing that's mutar and then working in the afternoon something is asur, do we say, and he gets paid a lump sum check, do we say, although not lump sum check, like a bag of money, let's put it that way, make it simpler, do we say that the entire thing is asur, or he can selectively choose, like Brera, which is mutar, which is asur? Okay, and we said, is it similar to someone who sells hula to Master Shani, where he can seem to be selective between the two? So the question is as follows. So Nishmin Mahalas from the following. He wants to bring wine to Lechule. Now we've got a girsa change here. Well, not girsa change. This is what we saw in Masechta Shvi'it. So it's instructed to bring wine for someone who is unwell. Or Tapuach Lechule, tapuach an apple to someone who is unwell. So Imevi lo, chayav liten lo. So someone's contracted to go pick something or to get something, then if he gets it, he gets it. If not, not. However, if he told him to go pick something up from a particular location, so he traveled there, or tapuach, so either yain for a cholo, tapuach let's say he gets there. And the wine that he's expecting is not there. Or the apple that he's expecting is not there. Meaning it wasn't available. He wasn't told it would be there and it wasn't there. Then he would still have to be paid. Why? Because you paid the taxi or the delivery company to go pick something up and come back. The fact that it wasn't at the location that it was meant to pick it up from is not the taxi driver's fault. He wasn't paid to pick up the object. He was paid transport fees, and he went there and it wasn't there, should be paid, if you like the Mayrag glove. Okay, he needs to be compensated for that. Okay, so no 10 law. So therefore, the same thing here, v'cho, lo de Mayrag glove, no 10 law, isn't the same thing here. Meaning, the work during the day, the assumption is the work in the morning is also de Mayrag glove, meaning the effort has been put in, such that the assumption is if you stop work in the middle of the day, like they didn't give him any work at the end of the day, he would have been paid for the morning. Okay. Still, nonetheless, or he wouldn't be paid. In other words, it wasn't, let's call it objective focused. It was tircha focused, like I'm hiring you to exert energy. So therefore, same thing here. He'd be able to, like with Master Shani, from his money he's received. Well, so the ones that was a muta money, he would have, so allocate some which is a muta wages, and the afternoon work which was right to Yain Nesach would be the asul money. He'd have to split between the two using Breyer, like with Master Shani and Kula money. And be able to keep only, say, half, if it was half, a portion of it. Okay, let's continue. Rav Yirmiyah Baye, scharol l'shaber chaviot yain. What if he's being paid to now go and smash barrels of wine? Yav yain nesach. Now you can start thinking about it. Well, he doesn't want it, correct? So should I get hana from that or not? The answer is there's a payment asur. So afilu ken schara asur. Even so, the schar is asur. Why? He's being paid to smash barrels, which means if I don't know, a wall collapsed on all these barrels and smashed, he wouldn't get any payment, correct? So therefore, he wants the Yain Nesach to be there for himself to go and smash and get paid. So therefore, since it's Rotzel Kiyomo, it's considering getting Schar Yain Nesach. Okay, that's the way the Gemara rules. Next, Asi Amar Demei Yain Nesach Biyad Goy Asur. So if a goy sells yain nesach, the money he has in his possession is also asur. This is the next step. We have to understand this works. Demei avodah zara biyad goy. What about if a goy sold avodah zara? Is the money that he has in his hands also asur? So Rabbi Yonatan says it's mutar, and Rabbi Yochanan. So Yonatan Yochanan, it's asur. So the question is it effectively bittul and he's selling it, or is it like an exchange? You'll see how this works. So matnida masai ladina minin sai ladin. We've got seems to be brighter, seems to support both positions. Matnida masai la Rabbi Yochanan says goy she'achai ma'od Israel, for goy is obligated to, he has a debt to an Israel, and he says lo yomar lo goy she'achai says lo yomar lo am ten ad she'em kor yain nesach or ad she'em rov avodah zarah v'ten lecha. He can't say to him, oh wait a bit, I'm just going to sell this yain nesach, I'm going to sell my idols if you like, and then I'll give you the money. He can't accept that condition. Ani Omar, why? Because I'm concerned that he wasn't mevatel the avodah zarah and the avodah zarah component. He was just what's called machlif. He's exchanging it. So therefore, the money is considered demei avodah zarah, and this is a source to say demei avodah zarah is asur. That seems to support the position. Let's get it the right way around. of Rabbi Yochanan. However, Matnin de Messiah Leila Rabbi Yonatan, there's a brighter that seems to support Rabbi Yonatan. For example, it says, Goisha Chai Mot Yisrael, Hareza Mocheri can sell Yain Nesech, but not ten law Avodazara. Avodazara, not ten law. Mipnei Marit Ayin. Now, what's Mipnei Marit Ayin? Mipnei Marit Ayin is not usually a reason to matir something. Marit Ayin is usually a reason to osir something. So, why are we throwing in Mipnei Marit Ayin if we're saying it's mutar to do such a thing? So, Mipnei Marit Ayin means, Kulomar ve'ein bo ella, this Pnei Moshe says, ella Mipnei Marit Ayin bilvad, meaning the only concern you might have introduced in such a situation is maybe Marit Ayin. How about Medina mutalaka belemona? Nonetheless, we don't really, I mean, it is that another way. Mipnei Marit Ayin means that's the only consideration that may be brought to the table, and nonetheless, we're not concerned. That's Mipnei Marit Ayin. That's how you'd have to read it. Okay, so we've got a proof for both. However, if it's mamash a chalipin, meaning he didn't, Pnei Moshe says, Mishlo machra ela hechlifa v'davar acher, it was some sort of exchange, that's asur. The only machlok lo nechu ela b'mochra, that only debate is where he sells it. Okay? Daha savar, so now the chalipin is like a barter. Kivan de shemachra lo chashivalei. The assumption is, in other words, machlok is only if he sells it, because if he's selling it by selling, what does it mean? One opinion says mutar means he doesn't consider it much of value anymore, or it doesn't get important anymore. Obviously, from some value, that's why it's like batel, and therefore it's considered to be avodah zara. Ubatula batala, like explained. Umar savar, no, that it's considered chalifei avodah zara. It's just an exchange. That's why that's a debate regarding demei avodah zara. Now the question is, you've just said the chalipin is asur. What about chalipi chalipin? How far does this go? You switch in the avodah zara, let's make it easy for a chainsaw, then switch the chainsaw for, I don't know, a weed cutter. Is that weed cutter also still going to be asur? Chalipei chalipin. How far does this go? You can pretend in a world of commerce, you could end up making everything asur in the world, potentially, like in many generations.
I just wanted to ask, that means that you never can do business with someone.
Bidiyuk, like how far does it go? So Amar Rabbi Chanina, machloket, it's a machloket, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Rabbanan. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yossi says, asur even chalipei chalipin. So two generations, we haven't gone to three or four, but not two generations. Rabbanan says, no, it's mutar. So what's the rationale? Rabbi Lazar Bar Oshai says, Tamad Rabbanan says, vayitim cherem kamol. That which is exchanged is kamol. That's only step number one. Okay, so in other words, only chalipin is asur, chalipei chalipin is fine.
Sorry, one more question. How do you know which generation you are?
When you're dealing with him.
With the one who is doing avodah zara.
In other words, if you go to another, if you go to a random.
But if he exchanges it, if John exchanges it to, I don't know, to somebody else, and you do business with somebody else, if it's a second generation, you can't.
No, it's John's object, right? Because the avodah zara that was John's is now in the hands of somebody else. He exchanged it for a sweater. I don't know.
Right,
and
correct.
You're saying, how do I know what possessions of his may be a chalipa avodah zara or not?
How do I know that the second one is the one who exchanged that and that for that? How do we know that?
Presumably we're saying that we know. Because if you don't know, you don't know. I'm assuming we're knowing, right? I'm assuming that there's some sort of knowledge. You have to know. Otherwise, again, like, but in other words, I think the question is by the din. If you don't know, you don't know. Like, I don't think we're going to be zloishesh lami or tia, unless it's Rabbi Meir. This relates to back to Daf Yomi in terms of like in most of the possessions a goy selling is not chalipi avodah zara. He doesn't have that much of avodah zara, right? I think we're assuming what we know. Okay. Okay, but back to this. So in other words, Rabbanan say only the chalipei straight kaite haiti cheren komol, anything kosher to yachole kaimer mimena, only thing that direct descendant or derivative of avodah zara is asur. That's the position of chachamim. However, the Gemara says, "Well, Mike, then what's the din?" So Amar Rabbi Yasi Barbun kamol shtei pamim. The term kamol implies like twice. Al shem loy ba meyadcha meuma menacherem. So how do we understand this? I'll show you the Pnei Moshe. He says, "Tichtiv hacha vaitecherem kamol, v'chtiv loy bacha meminacherem." Okay, lelamed shafilu meuma mimeno cherem kamol. So any derivative is like the avodah zara to that extent. The fichach. That's why it's two generations, not just one generation down. That's what it seems to be the position. Okay. Again, practical advice. Let's assume we know. That's the what seems to be the bottom line, that two exchanges, but from then onwards is nigma. Okay, let's continue. This is now halacha bet. Nesech. If someone rents a donkey, he rents out his donkey to somebody, and that person is transporting a nesech, the money the rental fee he gets, it's schar avodah zarah. That's the chumrah, just like a worker. It's not just you doing work for avodah zarah, the wages are, or even your mammon that's been rented out to facilitate avodah zarah, and you're generating revenue from that. That would also be asur. Okay, next. What if it's rented out by for riding upon? Now the Nochri himself might carry his small, what are these little hip flasks or something that might have some Yain Nesach in it. They used to carry Yain Nesach with them for drinking along the road. Do we say now the schar is asur? Even if he's putting a flask on it, scharam mutar, the schar would still be mutar. Now, Pnei Moshe has a very interesting reading of the Gemara, which I want to stress as we go on, because other people explain differently. We're learning like Pnei Moshe here. When the Gemara asks now, it says, Haschor ad heichan, the question according to Pnei Moshe is, what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? That if he's rented it to ride upon, that was the terms of which you gave it to him, and he happened to carry this flask, what's the chiddush? When did the Mishnah teach us that chiddush, that the wages are actually mutar? Means, when would we have thought, I mean, like, in what situation would you have thought otherwise? He says, Ad kedeshu hachamor makpid. So I'll read the Pnei Moshe because I want to be careful here. He says, Kolomar, the had itzrich, the whole chiddush of the Mishnah is the af agav inon ten ele bichdeshe in hachamor makpid alav. You know, despite the fact, in other words, the whole reason for the chiddush of the Mishnah is only in a situation where he's carrying something that is not a big deal, that the chamor or the owner, like the owner of the donkey as well, wouldn't be makbid on it. That is, he accepts that people are allowed to carry their drinking and their food with them when they're riding riding the donkey. Meaning, when you rent it to someone to ride upon, the assumption is he's going to carry his phone or whatever, not a phone, but you know what I mean, his other traveling wares with him. Okay, in other words, because people would ride it that way. So Mahu, that's what the Mishnah had to teach us. Since the owners of the donkeys accept the fact that people, when they're renting it, allowed to carry small amounts of wine with them, Im ken, maybe you would have thought, maybe that's considered as if from the outset it was stipulated that I'm doing this to carry wine on it, and therefore it should be asur kamash malan, meaning that it is not, could appreciate. In other words, when it says ad kedesh lo makpid, effectively lo makpid alav, that's when the Mishnah is needed to tell us that it's nonetheless mutar. Because if it was rented to ride upon, and the guy ends up breaking the terms of the agreement and starts loading on with barrels and barrels of wine on this, like, to transport wine, well, the schar wouldn't be asur, because he didn't. Mishnah doesn't teach us that, because he never agreed for him to be to for the terms of this contract to be carrying ayin nesach. The chiddush is in the small amounts that is understood that people, when they're renting, would carry it. You might think that that's implicitly agreeing to, you're now taking this to carry Yain Nesach, Kamash Malan, it's not. That's the Pnei Moshe. That's the two lines of the Gemara that Pnei Moshe unpacks for us. Okay, let's continue. This is now Halacha Gimel. Yain Nesach shenafal gabei anavim. Let's say Yain Nesach falls on grapes. What do you do? Does it make all the grapes asur? Simply no. Yedichim, just wash it off. You're fine. However, if they were cracked, well, you can't just wash it off, because all the yain nesach is going to seep into the grapes, and you're in trouble. That's obvious. It should be asur. Maaseh benu was bringing all these figs, dried figs, in this boat, and there was a barrel there. Vinishpru chayv shayain nesach, a guy broke onto it. And now you can't really wash that off. I mean, you can surface layer, you can, but it's going to be seeping into these into the grogarot. What did the chachamim say? Ve'etiru, it's mutar. Why? Zeh kal kushu benaton otem tam asur, v'goshem atona otem tam mutar, kon achomet shenafal legrisim. Meaning, if you've got a mixture of devar asur mutar, if the asur thing that's contributing is what's called otem tam lifgam, is actually the contributing taste is creating a deficiency, it's getting a negative impact, then it's mutar. So that's why the grogot mutar. But if it's a positive thing, That's in his mutar. That's, we have these kashrus as well in terms of ten lamed gam. In other words, it's creating a negative impact. It doesn't make it asur. Okay, that's what we're saying in this context. I'm not
What's
going
the
to
negative
extrapolate to
impact?
kashrus.
What's the negative impact of wine on
No,
the on
the time people will taste it. Won't, the grogot won't taste nice.
the even when it's a sweet, when it's a nice wine?
That's what it's saying. It's saying by grogarot, the wine itself is not ten lav gam. Maybe in this situation, this charif wine, whatever it was, this yain nesach.
Right,
That,
right,
that's
right.
understanding. Okay? And that would be the same thing, for example, which is because you're not ne'nem in the tama isur. So, and that's also, for example, vinegar that falls onto grisim, to beans, split beans. We'll be discussing when we get to the Gemara. Now, the Gemara
Listen to this,
says,
listen to this, Rebbe. Listen to this, the Pnei Moshe.
yeah.
Af al pi she'ein anu yodim im noten hayayin tam lishvach banovim. אוי לוי, ולחכמים מתירים בנויסים טעם לפגם, מוטורס הענבים עם היין פויגים בהם.
If it's pogeba,
Yeah, but if we don't know if it's giving a better time, then it might be lishvach, then it might be good. That's what I learned from this
what's
Pnei
it, your Pnei Moshe? Which your Bram Matchil?
Moshe. Ve'ein ta'avdena k'yayin b'yayin.
Oh, no,
You...
we're up, not up to that. We're not up to that.
I know, but the cash is the same.
No. Let's get to that. I know that Pnei Moshe talked about. We need to address it when we get to that. Because now we're asking the following question, because this relates to the question of the Gemara now. The first point is the Mishnah is talking about where the stems haven't been pulled off. Because that's what we're saying, if yain nesach falls on grapes, just wash it off, you're fine. However, if they're pulled off the what's it called, the springing or the cluster of stems, let's call it that, then then they're cracked, they're exposed, and the yain nesach will fall into it. Okay, fine. Now, ma'at avadli, what do you treat the case of, now you have to, this is what the Pnei Moshe was referring to. When you're talking about this wine that falls into grapes, is it a case of yain b'yain, or is it a case of yain l'tavshil? Okay, so what type of mixture is this? So if you say it's k'yain b'yain, then, so in David Kiyain to Ketavshil, Divra kol Asur. Meaning, if the reason why you're saying it's Asur because it's like wine that goes into a cooked pot. Now, this is a bit difficult, Pnei Moshe. We'll go through it carefully. Divra kol Asur, because he says, Klomar, Bein Rabbi Meir, Bein Rabbi Alta, Pligi Lahatam, Betam, Benoten Tam Nifgam, because you'll see in the next mission, the Machlokadam, Noten, or next really Shir, well, towards the end of this year, sorry, that whether it gives a detrimental taste, whether it still makes it Asur. Okay, Sabri Banan, Chachamim say it's mutar. Hachle kula almu bi asul. To keep in mind, since you've compared this to wine falling into a tavshil, vaday the assumption is no ten tam lishvach. However, the init avid, if however you compare it to yain b'yayin, mixture of wine and wine, im ken talya b'plugta, it would make a. Then you're saying it's like a machlok between Rebbe Meir and Chachamim. Meaning da'amat nita stamaka amar asurot. It's asur. Even though we don't know im noten yayin tam shevach la'anavim or lo. This is what your yayin, this is what we're referring to. Meaning, if you're saying the reason why it is asur with wine that falls into grapes, again, if it's because it's your assumption is, oh, it's asur because it's like wine falling into a tavshil, then you're saying that it's asur because it's noten tam lishvach. And everyone agrees it's asur. But if you're saying the reason why it's asur for this wine that's falling onto the cracked grapes is because it's like mixing wine with wine, then it's not clear that that's the reason why it's asur. It could just be because it's a mixture of yain nesach and regular yain. So just to explain this, af pi she'ein anu yodim im noten tam lishvach banavim or lo, ulachachamim mutarim benoten tam lishvach mutarot anavim im yain if im hayain pogem bahem. So just to explain this machloket of, oh sorry, then sorry again. Because in this, because in that situation, it's a matarim then what he's saying here, this is, sorry, then I'm starting because I got confused with the different parishes at the moment. I'll go over again. Then in that situation, our mission would presumably have to be like Rabbi Meir, because you don't know if it's noten tam or really not, or maybe we're just machmir chachamim. But it says it's taluy baplug to the chachamim. Which would mean our mission is like Rebbe Meir. Okay, that's the way the Panei Moshe explains it. That in other words, he says Taloi bePlugta, the machloket of Rabbi Meir Chachamim, whether the Mishnah would be asur of the wine falling onto the grapes, because we don't know if it'll turn Tam Pagam, and according to Rabbi Meir, it makes no difference. So our Mishnah must be like Rabbi Meir. Okay, that's the way he explains it. Now the reason why I hesitated is because the article has a completely different take on this. He quotes the Shari Torah at Eretz Israel. He says, no, you're not meant to read Inami Yain beYain machloket. It's machloket between who? Rabban Gamliel and Chachamim. A very interesting take on the whole thing. Now, what's Machlok Rabban Gamliel Chachamim? If you remember, the Machlok Rabban Gamliel Chachamim is regarding Yain Nesech that falls into other wine. That's where I started getting it wrong, but because I started switching to that parish. So, in other words, Yain, in that situation, you remember, Rabban Gamliel says, oh, not a problem. All you do is you effectively sell it to a, we're going to see actually in more detail, but you sell it to a Nochri, but you don't charge him the Yain Nesech part of it. Okay? So it doesn't make the whole mixture asur. Chachamim says forget the whole thing's asur. That's Rabban Gamliel's shita. So again, if you treat the case like yayin in a tavshil, well, if it's considered like one big cooked food, you don't say if yayin nesach falls into some sort of a chulent pot or is poured into a chulent pot, you can't sell the whole chulent to the nochri minus the value of the wine. Everyone agrees the whole thing's asur. But if you treat it like yayin b'yayin, you'd be able to sell these grapes to the nochri and not charge in the yayin nesach part in it. But that's, I think, it's a quite a smooth way to explain the sugya. But obviously, you have to change a critical word. Rabban Gamliel talking about referring to Rabbi, sorry, to Rabbi Meir to Rabban Gamliel. Okay, but again, just to go back to make it clear, because I hesitate along the way, the Bnei Moshe's take is that if it's yain, it seems to be if it's yain, but tavshil is assumed to be the 10 times the shvach. That's why it's asur l'kula alma. And if it's treated like yain the yain, then it's in the Mishnah's like Rabbi Meir, because we're not sure if it's a 10 times the shvach or not. So that's why I said to be careful, Rabbi Israel, before, because that Pei Moshe was talking about the discussion with wine into grapes. What we were talking about just before was the later part of the Mishnah, the wine that fell into the grogarot, which was the temtam shvach. Okay? Let's continue. Lifgam, sorry. Lifgam, sorry. Let's continue. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hadat Amar, but now, Mishnah, now Gemara is going back to the case of the wine that falls onto the grisim. Right, we said that wine that falls into grisim, that's also the that's going to be a negative detriment. It's not, you're not getting hana from the things being the mixed in isur part. It is degrading the flavor. Okay, so he says that's only barotchi, that's when it's boiled up. Aval betzonim, if ever you put some of this vinegar, this asur vinegar onto some cold beans, then it's asur. Why? Shekhen derech b'nei tziporim, no simken, because people tziporim would have their cold beans with vinegar, right? Before it's been cooked. That's what it sounds like. So that's, it depends. Is it shvach? Is it shvach? Is it lufkam? It depends on the context when it comes to these beans. Not a black and white thing it says in a Mishnah. However, and the korinotor shahalia, that's what they refer to. So how you, now the Gemara says, okay, what if you cooked it up first, rotchim, and then you pre-cooked these beans and it cooled down, and then you added the yayin nesach? That's what Pnei Moshe explains. So it says, what's a din? Gemara says, what do you mean? Then, if you're going to say it's asur in that situation, then even if it was rotchim, anything that's heated up is eventually going to cool down. So, therefore, it should be then it should be asur even the heated up beans. Because if you say that if it's pre cooked and you cool down and you add the wine, then it's considered a shevach for it, it's considered good, and therefore make it asur, then how can you ever permit beans when they're boiling up hot? Because give it a few minutes, it's going to be shevach, and the assumption is sofer lishvach should therefore be asur. So therefore, the assumption is that it's not considered lishvach if it's these beans are pre-cooked. Okay, fine. The Tani. Now this is something else. It says kol notnin tam bein lishvach bein lefgam asur. If it's according, that's been Rabbi Meir, says in tam something asur mixed in with other things, whether it's positive contribution, whether it's negative contribution, it's asur. Achamir says, no, lifgam is mutar, kagon chometz naval es grisin. But if it's a negative impact, like this chometz is falling to grisin, and it's a detrimental impact, then that doesn't make it asul. That's not torten tam lifgam. Okay, and we've got more to discuss on this topic before we get to the next mission, and we'll pick up on this in the show next year.
At the
Okay.
beginning of this morning, we said that it's you can't pay a Jew can't take payment for
Yep.
destroying Yayin Nesek.
Yes.
So does that How do you destroy it then? You have to pay a goy to destroy the I
No,
missile
you can break it yourself. Just go up and smash it.
voluntarily.
Run up and smash it.
It has to be voluntary.
But if you're getting paid to do this, then you're getting enough from the fact because you're getting paid by the barrel, right? If you want as many barrels of going as a be there, it's a bit like it's one of these fascinating stories. I'll tell you this story. My wife was telling this. There was a reward in they were trying to get rid of Cobra somewhere in America. I don't know the exact story, but someone will correct me later anyway. And they said that anyone who brings in dead cobras, that's will pay you. Okay? And that was they thought that would be a good incentive program to get rid of cobras. What happens? The population increased significantly. Why? Because there was suddenly a market for dead cobras, so people started breeding these cobras. Right? So because they realized that dead cobras is a currency, I can make money off by breeding cobras. So in other words, there's an in the case of the Cobra cases, there were interest to have as many cobras as possible, which is the opposite outcome of what their incentive program was. So to here, if you're paid per barrel to break it, you want the Yai Nesser. You're now benefiting from the fact there's lots of Yai Nesser. Okay? Not
No.
exactly the same story, but you can understand how you're benefiting the fact Yai Nesser is it. Okay, all right. God's love.
Go ahead.
Have a good day.